that's the testimony of each one of you this morning. Because you just want more of the Lord. Let the musicians have their seats. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Good to be here with you. Good to be alive, and it's good to be a Christian.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for His blessings upon us, and I know that there's no way we can just absolutely comprehend everything that He's done for us. Every day, there's just so many things that He does that we just miss. And so, we just best just give Him all glory and just put it all in His hands and say it's all Him. Yeah. Amen. So we just appreciate Him and His goodness to us. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles, and we're going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 3. Good to see all the help that has come out today. Help us in ministry of the Word, and help us take care of a few things that we want to get done around the place. Amen. You know, there's not a whole lot in this world that you can really have your peace can go to. You know, the scriptures talk about when you go into a city and if you're or into a house, you know, if your peace is there and everything, the reciprocation of the house, but you know, if it's not there, then you just, you know, when you can't fellowship with the world, you just can't fellowship with the world.
That's right.
And but yet when you can come together with believers and you just feel like you've been together all your life, which really you come from eternity, then, you know, that becomes a place and a fellowship that you can relax.
Yes.
and enjoy. And so there's not much of that in this world, but that's why that, you know, we know that the only true love that's left in this world before it's over with is the love of believers to one another and to God. Amen. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Amen. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And then one more scripture we want to read, one more place. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. We want to pray. Lord, as we come to you today in this portion of the service, we just want to thank you, Lord, for providing once again this opportunity to be here with your people, to gather around your word and feast. We're asking, Lord, that you as the great shepherd would come and take care of your sheep this day. Lord, we surrender to you in every way, our mental faculty, our voice, our emotions, our actions, our ears. We just give it to you this morning, Lord, and just ask God that you use them for your glory. Did you speak to the hearts of your people? And Lord, just feed your sheep today. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. We'll title this today, Three Battle Fronts. Three Battle Fronts. You know, last week I was talking to you kind of on the same thought. I can't seem to get away from it right now, so we're just going to keep right on where we've been. But I was talking to you last week about one of the greatest attributes of the Word made flesh to me is the ability to always be obedient to God's Word and never make a mistake, never fall, never compromise, never pervert, anything like that. And I mentioned last week, you know, that when you take the Word, which cannot fail, and it becomes flesh, and flesh is always something that always fails. But yet, whenever God became flesh, I mean, here he was in a body, and he was like you and I, and you would think, well, he's just like everybody else, and yet there was a deity, there was a power there now that was flesh, but yet it was the Word, and it couldn't fail. And so that's a tremendous thing to think about, the Word becoming flesh. And then you know that Brother Branham said in this last day that the bride, she becomes the Word, and the Word becomes her. And so you realize that what God, through his plan of redemption and through opening all the truths and things and the things that we embrace of his truth, we become the living Word just like Jesus was. And so the thing I was mentioning last week was how that no matter how much pressure the Lord Jesus Christ went under, he would not get away from the will of God. He would not get away from the Word because he was the Word. And it didn't make no difference that even if he was put under pressure, even the pressure of the cross, of dying on a cruel Roman cross, he could not compromise the Word.
Right.
And so that's the thing that, you know, as I've said so many times, what makes God God is because he can do things that nobody else can do. He can know things, and he has characteristics and abilities, and when you and I give up, he doesn't give up.
That's right.
He can go way beyond anything, and God forbid that we'd be like it says in Romans chapter 1, that we would bring God down into the limitations of man and of four-footed beasts and creatures and start putting limitations on him and make it to where he can't do what he can do. Yeah. He's God, and he can't fail. Mm-hmm. And so we got to just always remember that Satan wants us to put God in a situation where we try to limit him, even though we may not realize we're doing that, but we're putting him in a limit and saying, well, he can't help my case. He can't help me. I've done went too far. I've made too many mistakes, or, you know, and so stop doing that.
Yeah.
The Word of God says he's God, and he is still God. Right now he's God today, and what's quickly going to be 2021, he is God today right in the midst of COVID-19.
Right.
And he'll be here in COVID 2021.
Yeah.
And so he's God. He's all those things. And so we could never put too much emphasis on the character of that Word, the character of the Word made flesh, the character of God when he begins to walk among us in flesh. You never put too much emphasis on that because, see, saints, that's what we're coming to. You know, we, as the scripture says, that learned he obedience by the things he suffered, that's us. We have to do the same thing. He came to the understanding of who he was.
Right.
And we have to do the same. We have to come to that place where we understand who we are, and the program of God continues to work on in this hour right through His people, just like He says it would be. And so we can never put too much emphasis on that, because that's what He is, and that's what we're becoming. And we should always be looking in our lives and saying, am I pleasing the Lord? Is my life matching up with what the Scripture says was coming? Does my life match up with what the end time revelation says will be here?
Yeah.
See, we should always, there's a constant, you take an airplane or anything, you're going down the road, you know? Let's use an airplane, because I heard a brother use this for an example one time, and I thought it was pretty good. But you take an airplane that wants to go from one point to the other. They have a flight plan. They might fly off over here, then turn a little bit, whatever. But they have a plan, and that plane is constantly correcting as it gets off plan. It's constantly making changes to stay on that plan to get it where it's going.
Yeah.
And that's the Christian walk. We're constantly, if you're really a Christian, and you're not trying to be like the world, and you're not trying to make excuses, and you're not trying just to have a form of the godliness but denying the power thereof, if you're really a Christian and the Holy Spirit's working in your life, He's constantly correcting, and you're constantly moving, staying on that projected place that's taking you to rapture.
That's right.
It's constantly going on. And if that's not going on in your life, you better check up.
That's right.
Because God is still God, and He is able to overcome. When the Scripture said that you'll receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I always say, power for what? Power to overcome.
Yes.
Power to be something like God, which the rest of the world couldn't be, and you couldn't be, except God be in you. So, could never put too much emphasis on this. Because the bride becomes the Word, and then she's going to have that same character in her, the ability that no matter what pressure is put upon her, she will not fail to meet that Word for this hour, because she has become that Word.
Yeah.
We have to come to that understanding to realize that, yes, this right here that gets tired and gets hungry and has to take a shower or a bath to keep from stinking, yes, right here in this, God is manifesting His promised Word for the hour right here in this. I know, it boggles my mind, but He's doing it because He said He would. Because if He hasn't brought it to this, what has the plan of redemption been for? What's it all about? See, God's not defeated. He's making this thing work because He said He would. So He's got a people that even though they walk in flesh, His perfect Word is being on display in this day. And so she has to have that same character. She will not fail. She won't drop it. And you've got to realize it's not you.
Right.
It's Him.
Yeah.
Somehow He's got down inside us. Somehow He has come down and is now living in His people, and we have to come by revelation to understand it's Him, not me.
Right.
And when you make a mistake, it's not Him. And when you make a mistake, it's not you.
That's right.
Because you're Him.
Yeah.
See? And so we're all coming and growing to a revelation to realize there's something in me that is Almighty God. He's done it. I haven't done it, but He's done it. You haven't done it, but He's done it. And He's there, and He's alive, and He will not fail, even in the midst. He's wrapped up in a body of flesh that seems to fail continually.
Yeah, right.
And yet, He's able to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. We believe that. Just always remember that. Say, devil, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was you. Mm-hmm. That was you in my flesh. That was you trying to do that. And so you understand the teaching on that. And so she is the Word made flesh in this hour, and that's what we must always look to, as Him as our example. As it says in Hebrews 12, let us look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. For the joy that's set before you and I, we're going to endure whatever this world wants to put on us. And whatever it is that God lets them do, we're going to endure that as a cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah,
right? And I think I've mentioned recently, I think I talked about last week, but if all this, if the world just comes crashing down on us, seems like it, you know, which we know that they're after the bride, that we'll just count that as the correction of God. We'll count that as the mighty hand of God working in us, something we need.
Yeah.
Right? And we're not going, you know, we're not going to be in despair. We're not going to be just forsaken or anything like that. Though all that stuff comes upon us, we know we're still in His plan, and we're His people.
Yes, right.
This is what the scripture tells us to do and to believe. And so we read the scriptures here where Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And Jesus had three major testings or trials there in that we just read. And we find out that when you listen to the message and you study the scriptures, you don't even have to listen to the message to know this. But those were the same things that Eve was tested through. And so we read the scripture. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Jesus was tested by all three of those for a reason. There's a reason why, because it's all covered right there under that. We read the scriptures where it said, for all the lust of the world, the things of the world, right? Don't love it. And it listed them. Here's what's of the world, and here's what's going to pass away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that's what Jesus was tested and tried to, and that's what Eve was tested and tried to, and she failed. And so, but Jesus overcame, and he overcame by the word. So in the church age book, Laodicean church age, Revelation 3:21, it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now, this is Brother Ram saying this. Now, what are we to overcome? That is a normal question to ask here, but that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we overcome, but how we overcome. Now, this is logical, for it doesn't. For does it matter what we overcome? Now, this is logical, for does it matter what we are to overcome as long as we know how to overcome? So it really doesn't matter what it is you're overcoming as long as you know how and you can do it. It doesn't matter what the devil throws out in front of you. As long as you've got the ability to overcome, he can throw out there whatever he wants and you overcome. So he's saying, you know, the natural thing is to say, well, how, you know, what do you overcome? No, it's not what you overcome. It's how. How do you overcome? And that's the thing he wants to get to us. Don't worry about what the nature of the battle is. Let's look at how we overcome. And so he goes on to say, a quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus Christ overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptations of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way to know that you can know if you are overcoming, because it is the word. That makes sense. If everything else passes away and everything else fails, and the only thing that actually will stand is the word of God, then the only way that you can know for a fact beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're overcoming is as if you're staying with that word. Because your emotions will lie to you. The devil will lie to you. Society will lie to you. The only way you can be 100% certain that you're going to overcome the temptations of the devil and the things of this world is if you stay with the word. That's what it is. Amen. You got to stay with that. Now notice again how Jesus overcame the world system religion. When he was repeatedly badgered by the theologians of his day, he constantly applied the word. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak. There was not a time when the world was not utterly confused by his wisdom, for it was the wisdom of God. In his own personal life, contending with himself, he overcame by obedience to the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What was he obedient to? The Word. The Word of God. Amen. That's the Laodicean Church Age book. And so we realize that Jesus there in the wilderness, he was tested in those three ways, those three different types of testing. Jesus had power. I think I mentioned this last week. Jesus had power. He could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, right? He could do all that. And he never used one bit of that. That supernatural God power like that. He never used any of that to defeat the devil. Because he was laying down a pattern for you and I, an example.
Yeah.
And so if he walked up and said, you know, I got all this supernatural power and I'll just sling the devil off like that. Well, you and I go, well, I can't do that because I wasn't him. I don't have all that, see? So how would that work for me? Mm-hmm. But what he did was, is he took a stance of defeating the devil that even the weakest, smallest person can do. Mm-hmm. And that is to just quote the Word, stay with the Word.
Right.
And just give that Word. And that shows you right there that Satan knows that Word is going to defeat him. He's defeated by it.
Yeah, right.
Because the Scripture said when Jesus did that, Satan left. Mm-hmm. See?
That's right.
Satan knows that Word is what whips him. Anything other than that. If you grab any other tool, he's got you.
Yeah.
You've got to stay with the Scriptures.
Yes.
And when he comes at you, he's coming at you in one of these three ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. He's coming at you, and all that's going to pass away. So we want to, during the times of temptation like that, we want to turn to the Word. And even though we might find out if this is all we're with, that we know as believers, we have authority. We don't have power, we do have authority.
Right.
We're not going to use that authority and abuse it.
Right.
See? Jesus didn't abuse it, and we're not going to abuse it. And so, he just gave us that example. It's just simply reach out over here and say, it is written. And the weakest Christian, the weakest person out there that knows the Word of God, all you've got to do is stay with that Word. Confess that Word. And God is able to make His Word come to pass. As a matter of fact, He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can vindicate His Word, and He vindicates it by bringing it to the past. And I can't do that, but He can, and it's His promise. And all I do is, if we stick with that, He'll make it come to pass. And we might have to wait for Him to do that, but He will bring that to pass. Just like what comes to mind right now is the story in there about the two different women that was, I think, lived on the same street, and they both went and was prayed for and pronounced their healing. You know, a certain amount of time went by, 2-3 weeks, whatever. But all of a sudden, one morning, one of the sisters wake up, and the thing, the growth or whatever she had was gone, and she run down the street to the other lady, and that lady, too, had received her healing that morning. And the story was that the angel of the Lord come pass through there and made that word come to pass that had been spoken. He was going to swing through there and make it happen. And I've seen that in my own life, things that I have given to the Lord. And you wait a while, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's done. It's over with.
Right.
See, He comes around to make that come to pass. But you've got to stay with that Word.
Yes.
And I tell you something else that comes to mind. Why does He tell us to pray? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
He's control of all this. He knows everything. His plan's going to come back. But He tells you and I to pray.
Right,
because you know what? He wants you to have something in this victory.
That's right.
Amen.
See? And our prayer is just simply the releasing of the will of God in our lives.
Amen.
Right? Our prayer is just simply giving Him that unction and say, okay, they've spoken, they've stayed with my word, and now it's my responsibility to come around and bring it to pass because they stayed with it.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. And I don't care what's breathing out on your neck of an ungodly world. Stay with that word and say, at some point, He's going to swing through my neighborhood and bring this thing to pass. And I'm not going to worry about how long it is. I'm just going to stay with Him and say, He'll be here.
Yes.
He'll be here. We'll hear the sand, the wheels churning in the sand as He comes to pick us up. As that story about the armor meatpacking. guy picking a wife. So Jesus did not use anything other than the Word. He used the Word and showing that we can do that. And of course, if you listen to the message, you know Brother Branham spoke about this. So he did not use the Word. He used the Word to defeat the devil, but he didn't use the power and he didn't use the Word to lessen his trial. Now, if you look at this, he was actually, he had fasted 40 days and he was hungry. And there wasn't anything wrong with him eating. Wasn't anything wrong with him finding something to eat. So that wasn't the problem. It wasn't that he, you know, that Satan was like, you know, testing him because he wanted to eat. But Satan was challenging him. You're out here in the wilderness, probably nothing to eat. You've been out here for 40 days. It's a long ways back to town. Mm-hmm. When you get there, your mother may not even have anything fixed for you. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just go ahead and use the power that you have to provide for yourself? Mm-hmm. Take that gift that's in your life and feed your own flesh with it. Yeah. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Feed your own flesh with it. That was the testing and the trying. And so Jesus did not use his power and authority to provide and feed the flesh. Even though it would be okay to do, it would be okay for him to have eaten bread or whatever, but it would have not been okay because that's not what the plan of God is. The plan of God was that gift in his life was for others, and he wasn't going to be doing it for himself. He wasn't going to feed his flesh. He wasn't going to use the Word to lessen his trials and his temptation. He was just, because in order for him to have done that, he would have had to go against what the Father said. Because the Father had not committed that to him, because if the Father hadn't committed that to him, he would have spoke the stones into bread. But it hadn't been committed. In order for him to do that at the temptation of the devil, he'd had to disobey God. And he's not going to do that because he's the Word, and he was totally, completely obedient to the Father. Yeah. Right? So the temptation was of devil trying to get him to use his position for something outside of the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so to feed self. There's something there for us to see here. We might be ever so gifted with the things of God. But if we are, if I have a gift to minister, it's not for me,
right?
It's for you.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And the gifts that God puts in our life is for others. That's why a life lived to yourself is a wasted life.
Right.
See? When you leave here, surely you want to. I've said this, that when I leave, like work, when I leave, I want that to be the saddest day at work that they've ever had. When I leave here, I don't want people to rejoice and say, praise God, Brother Tony's finally gone.
Right.
Get him out of our hair. See what I'm saying? You want to touch lives.
Yes.
And so that when you do go over there, those that you touch behind will say, I want to go over there so I can be back with Brother Tony and back with Brother Daniel. Right? I want to be back with Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because he touched my life.
Amen.
And that's the way it is, that we go on and some before and the rest come afterwards. Amen. And so Jesus didn't use the Word to feed himself to touch his own flesh. And he was flesh.
Right.
Word made flesh.
Yes.
So, and yet it would have been okay for him to eat, but not to use that Word because it wasn't part of the plan of God. Not to use it in that fashion. And so, he was human. You know, the scripture, we'll read it a little bit, Lord willing. The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. And I think, man, wow. You mean the devil's going to come and tempt and test and try me? And when he gets here, he's not going to find anything in me that he can touch.
Yeah.
He's not going to find anything in him. I think I told you years ago, I seen a movie. And I don't know what it was, but they had a powerful laser beam and they were going to use it or whatever. And somebody snuck in at night and put something on the lens. It was still a clean, perfect lens that could project that laser light through it. They put something on it. Well, the guys come in, they didn't check the lenses, and when they turned this huge, powerful laser on, it went all kinds of direction, did all kinds of damage because the lens was not pure. And I think of that. I always think of that when I think about this. When Jesus said, the prince of this world's coming, and he has nothing in me. There's nothing he's going to be able to touch and excite.
No.
There's nothing he's going to be able to to magnify and use for his plan. The light of God's just going to pass, the word of God's just going to pass through me, and Satan won't be able to do anything to hinder it. Because there's nothing in there that Satan can get a hold of. There's no lust of the flesh. There's no lust of the eye. There's no pride of life there. So there's nothing he can touch. See? Amen. And so, and yet all with all that, he was human. The scripture said he was tested, tried in all points, just like us. Tempted, you know, just like us. And because he overcame, now he's able to help us because he's been there. And he overcame it. He knows how to overcome in you.
Yes,
he knows how. And I choose my way of saying that. Is that he knows how to overcome in you. Because it's not you overcoming. It's him. He's done it before. And now he's going to do it again in you.
Yep.
But you've got to let him.
Amen.
Amen. And so he was human. And yet, and in his humanity, he had the frailties of humanity. He could be tempted and tried and tested. And he could have all those things because otherwise he wouldn't know what it's like. See? And yet with all that, the prince of the world cometh and he had nothing in me. That's like a paradox. It's hard to understand. But as with so many things with God, it's the truth. And this is what he can bring you and I to. To know that I'm flesh and yet in me, There can be touched lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of the life, and yet God can do something in me so that I stand in a position like Christ that through the nurturing of the Word and the birth of Christ in me, now I can stand up and though I'm in mortal flesh, yet Satan can look at me and say, there's nothing there. There's nothing there that I can excite and make a problem, that I can anoint and make a problem. Now, it sounds like a tall order to fill. Yeah, if we were trying to do it ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But if we know that God said he's going to do it and we're trusting him and we're just going to walk with him and let him take care of it, it's not a tall order. He can do it.
Amen.
But if you're trying it yourself, you're a failure to begin with. So, you know, Satan says, take these stones and make them into bread. It's the lust of the flesh. Takes him up to the, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Says, I'll give this to you. Lust of the eye. What you can see. Oh, you can see, oh, I want this and I want that. And you see these things, you covet them. Right? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus knew that he was going to have them anyway. But he was there. That was there. Well, I'll show you. So Satan was giving Jesus the opportunity. And he didn't rebuke him. Brother Brim talked about this. Jesus didn't say, ah, Satan, you can't give me all that. You don't have it. He did have it. And he could have given it to Jesus. So the test there was for Jesus to gain all those without the suffering of the cross. But then if he would have took it that way, how would the word of God been fulfilled? So the scripture said over and over and over, we got to catch this over and over and over, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. And what about the bride at this end time? What's she going to do? That it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled.
That's right.
God in her bringing to pass, that it might be fulfilled, that which has been spoken. You see, this is where we're at. This is what we're coming to. Amen. So the test there was to have that whole kingdom, have what God says you're going to have, but have it without the suffering of the cross. But the will of the Father was, the way you're going to get it is being that bloody lamb first before you can be the lion of the tribe of Judah. You got to suffer first.
Amen.
And that was lust of the eye, showing him all that and covet those things and want to come some other way than God's way. Tuck him up on top of the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Prove yourself. Prove who you are. In all these cases, if you be, if you be, if you be.
Sure.
Prove yourself. And you know, pride is a very interesting thing. I say interesting, it's pathetic is what it is. But I suppose probably everybody has some degree of pride. I mean, you want You know, even if you do have integrity and you're walking what's right, you want people to recognize that in you. And if for some reason somebody doesn't see that in you, your pride is hurt. You have pride. You want people to think highly of you. You want, you know, and I'm better than this. I don't want people to think I'm something different. You know, I'm thus and thus. And so a lot of times people are prideful, and I may not be explaining it the best in the world, but you get the point of what I'm saying. And so prove yourself. If you're really the Son of God, well, there. If Jesus would have been prideful, he would have said, I'm going to show him. I'm going to tell him off. I'll show him right now who I am. But he didn't clown. He did not clown for the devil. See? So Jesus was tested at all three points like that. And yet he never failed. He did not use the word to feed his flesh. By no means. Another thing Jesus did not do, he did not pervert the word to satisfy himself.
Right.
You see people do this. You'll see people who are ever so staunch in the scriptures, in certain portions of the Bible, only to miserably fail and bypass some other part.
Right.
Sure. I've been, you know, fellowshipping with different people, you know, as we do as Christians, and I was talking to someone here recently, talking to them about the, you know, ever so staunch in certain things and ever so strict in certain portions of scriptures. And so I said, well, what about women's apparel? Because I know this family that the females wear pants. I said, what about that? Because this person's saying this is what people do. They just take the Bible and they add their own twist to it, and that's, you know, and they can't do that. You cannot take that Bible and twist it and use this word and all that just to satisfy yourself and not fulfill what the scripture actually says. And yet while this person is saying that, they're doing it themselves.
Yeah.
Well, it says, well, you know, what does it mean, breeches? What does that mean? You know, I mean, apparel back then was such and such, and now, you know, and I said, how do you know what it was back then? And the whole point I was getting at there, see, God said there's a difference in the apparel between a man and a woman, and for the man to be masculine and the woman to be feminine, and whatever the apparel is today that's supposed to be right, there's a separation, and there should be very clear identity of one or the other.
Right?
Right? Okay? But yet, ever so staunch in certain areas and absolutely deny and reject and twist and pervert and take scriptures to try and twist around to satisfy the fact that they don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Right? You see it all the time. We better be careful we're not doing that.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Right? Do that. They do that, you know. Taking the word and manipulating it with man. And you remember I keep telling you back in the Old Testament when it said, if this altar, you make it out of stones, don't you put your tool to it. Don't you take a hammer and chisel and form this altar, this place where they're going to meet God and have a sacrifice and try to appease God. Don't you cut it out. You let it be stones that are not been hewn. Because when you touch it, the scripture said, when you put your tool to it, you pervert it. You messed that off. And what is that? It's the word of God, the principles by which we meet God, that our sins are forgiven, and you better not touch that word and change it and put your fashion upon it, because the moment you put your idea to it, you have perverted it, and now you cannot have that sacrifice acceptance of God in that form of worship.
Yeah.
See? And yet, so staunch in some other words, and doing things that a lot of people would never do to show their wisdom and power in will worship, and yet denying something and not going somewhere. And I can only think of two reasons why they wouldn't go there, and that is, one is they're either they're satisfying one of these three battlefronts. One of these, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. It's either they gotta satisfy that, and so they won't go there because they're trying to satisfy it, or they know if they go there, it's going to be a battle that's really hard. Maybe perhaps their own household, their own family wouldn't go with them. These are real battles. You see what I'm saying? These are real battles. But they all fall into the category of lust of flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of life. Satan wants to come at you with those things.
Right.
And that's the three battlefronts. That's why I'm calling it three battlefronts. Because, you know, when you have a war, there's usually multiple battlefronts. Where the enemy's coming and you have to go. When the enemy's coming at you from over here and he's coming at you from over here and he's coming at you from over here, you have to go and meet him on those battlefronts. Because if you don't go meet him, he's going to come and overtake you. You've got to meet that challenge as they come to you. And so we got three major battlefronts here: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Satan comes at you through those. And if you want to win a war, you've got to address every battlefront. You've got to silence that enemy on every front, or you haven't won the war.
Right.
So if you just ignore one of those fronts, and I realize you could win such great victories elsewhere that they would surrender on another front. And maybe you wouldn't even have to go there. But the point is that on every front, the enemy has to be put down one way or the other, or you still have a battle. You still have a war. And if you choose to not address a certain battlefront, if you let it alone and just say, well, he's really not causing me any troubles. I know he's there, but you know, I'll just leave it alone. If he hunkers down, I don't even know if that's a real word, but that's what we use. If he hunkers down and he trenches himself in and he's like right there and he's not really shooting at us and he's not really doing anything, but yet he's there and he's hunkered down, you know that at some point when he sees the time and the right opportunity, he's going to rise up and try and come at you.
Yeah, right.
So you haven't won the war unless you've got all these battlefronts done.
Right.
They have to be done and over with. The enemy has to be put down. And so people can be ever so staunch on certain battlefronts and totally deny and reject and ignore. And through that battlefront, one of these three is being satisfied. Yeah. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, or you follow what I'm trying to get at. You can't leave something undone. Mm-hmm. You have to address all of them. Satan tried to come to Jesus. He came to him there in the wilderness, and he came to him when Jesus, in a weak moment, when he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, hadn't eaten, he was weak, and Satan's like, this is my chance. I'm going to catch him when he's in his lowest point, and this will be where I get him. This is where I'm going to take him down. But it didn't work. Because why? Because it was the Word made flesh. Amen. So the bride like Jesus, she will not pervert the Word. She will not take quotes and scriptures and twist them around to make it okay for her to do something that we know is not supposed to be done. Or do you understand what I'm saying? She will not pervert the scriptures.
Amen.
She's not going to worship man. She's not going to worship denomination. She's not going to put man's teachings ahead of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. She's not going to do that. She's not going to use that word, and this is a tricky one, but she's not going to use that word to exalt self. She's not going to use that word to do benefit, fleshly benefit of her own.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You got ministers that use the word to bring riches to themselves, bring popularity to themselves, mm-hmm. bring things to themselves that they ought not, building self up rather than be humble. You see them doing that. But the bride will not do that. I'm talking about the real, genuine bride who is word of his word, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. She won't do those things. See? She has his character, and she's not going to pervert the word. She doesn't have to. I mentioned this the other day. You know, Brother Ram talking about in the garden they had to hide behind the word. But he talked about Jesus. He was the word. Jesus didn't have to hide behind anything because he was the word. He was the victory. He was the thing that could not fail. He didn't have to hide behind something that can't fail. He was the thing that couldn't fail.
That's right.
And in this end time, he comes into her and she becomes him. And so she doesn't have to hide behind something. She is that something. Because it's him and her. But it's revelation that does it. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ embedded in her heart, her soul, that makes her like that. And when she's like that, she doesn't have to hide behind the very thing that's living in her. You see what I'm saying? You could say, well, she's still hiding behind. Okay, she's hiding behind the life that's in her. Then we better do that. But you understand, she becomes that word. And this is where the persecution in this end time is going to come in a serious way. Because who do you make yourself? Is what they said to him. Who you make? Jesus was just simply standing there as a man saying, I am what the Father sent me to be. I am exactly what the Scripture said would come.
Yeah.
And at this end time, the church world, they have a problem. You know, it's like, well, you know, but you let something happen in the midst of the church world where God singles out one and says, this is the one, the rest of them is going to get jealous. That's exactly what happens. And so, as the bride comes into this more like him, thus she becomes him and all these things going on, at some point, the wrath of all the system turns to her and it becomes manifest openly. That they have a problem with her. And to demonize her, and to lie about her, and to manufacture things on her, and to change laws so that they can get her. That's what's all in the Bible. See? And you know, when we see that happening, we should say, praise God! Praise God! We are a problem for the devil. He don't like us. We must be getting on his turf. But if you're just sitting around, Brother B.J. Ryan sitting right here preaching years ago, and he'd say, if the devil's not attacking you, it's because you're on his side.
Yeah.
He'd say that. You know? Amen. So she doesn't pervert the word because she knows that she's him. She comes to that revelation. This is not intellect. I'm not talking about intellect.
Right.
I'm talking about something that God puts in your heart that you realize. There's something in you that makes you different. Makes you him. She, by revelation, knows that she is him. She knows that she is in the image of God. And I keep using this. I hope you don't get tired of me using that. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, he has been highly exalted to give him a name above all names, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is doing that again in you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He's here today doing this again in you. So she realizes that it's not robbery. It is not robbery for us to say, he's living in me. It is not robbery for us to say, because of an end time revelation that has dropped down into my heart, that Jesus Christ is now making his final review to the Gentiles through me and through you, through your flesh. It's not robbery to say that. It's not robbery to say that if God's going to speak and do something in this hour, it's through the bride.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Right.
The Scripture says to believe this.
Yeah.
To let that mind come into you. Paul taught it in an infant form, and here we are at the end time, and that infant is full grown, and we are to receive the full understanding of that thought that Paul was talking about.
Yes.
That Christ has come into you. Let this mind, let this kind of thinking push all other thinking out, and every other thought and imagination contrary to Christ, push it out, and let this kind of thinking be resident in your mind. And if it's the real thinking of God, if it's the real mind of Christ, it isn't going to be trying to make a name for itself. It's not going to be trying to pervert the word and get riches to self and to build up things to itself.
Yeah.
We're all subject to those three types of battles. Brother Ram said in the last days that the ministry especially would have to be careful of money, popularity, and women.
Right.
There's your three. Money, popularity, and women. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. And what have we seen? What have we seen? Not just out in the denomination world, but inside the framework of the message. You know why? Because just because someone says they're in a message and go to a message church and a message preacher doesn't mean that they're not losing these battles.
Right.
See? These are the things that Satan's going to come at him with.
Yeah.
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. In a situation where they could be perverted and have all the money come to themselves.
Yeah.
In a position where they could take another man's life. Because they're privy to problems they know about and using that as a trickery to you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what when you're in a position of power, you have knowledge and you have authority and you have things that you can do, and if that gets perverted, now you begin to do things to gain for self. We see it in our politics. See it? You see it out there. These people, they come great rulers, but they can't rule themselves. They're in control of millions of people, and yet they can't keep themselves away from some woman they're not married to.
Right.
Character, lack of character.
Right.
In positions of authority, but don't have the character to handle that authority. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ didn't have that problem, and the bride won't have that problem either.
That's right.
Amen. She humbles herself. She knows by revelation she is him. She knows by revelation that she is the form of God, that he's speaking through her. And she humbles herself and does not try to call attention to herself. We read in the scripture where Jesus would do miracles and he said, don't go tell nobody. Don't go tell them. That it might be fulfilled. That you wouldn't hear his voice crying in the streets. A smoking flax he wouldn't quench, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell nobody. Of course, you know how the fame of something like that travels anyway.
Right.
So she's not trying to make a name for herself, make no reputation for herself, humbles herself, and becomes obedient to whatever it is God wants to come to pass in this day.
Mm-hmm.
And since she is him, she has to be rejected just like he was rejected.
Yeah.
And so she humbles herself and becomes obedient. And even though she knows she's the queen, the real queen of heaven, that he has made her such by putting his word, by becoming one with her, and that he's in her. That even by that, and knowing that as he said, don't you know I can call for 12 legions of angels? And said to him, Lord, you want us to call down fire? He said, you don't even understand what spirit you're in. Because that's not the spirit of Christianity. You call fire down on your enemies. Right? That's not it. Our victory is won in a spiritual battle. And like I said last week, it looks like a total failure in the flesh. But in the spirit, he was overcoming and we're overcoming. So he didn't call for us to come along and call fire down. Amen. And so, she's not trying to make a reputation for herself. She doesn't fall for these three battlefronts. She has, because she is the Word, and she's ordained of God not to make the mistake he made. She doesn't use her position and her authority to retaliate just against somebody that's done them wrong. She doesn't do that because he didn't. Right? He did not do it. Her gifts is for others. And if nothing else, her gift is to live that life in front of this world so the world can crucify it, that they can be brought to judgment for what they did. If nothing else. But God won't judge them until they've done it. And so he said, right when they get ready to do their cowardly deed, he'll take her. He'll judge her. See, and that has to unfold. Amen. She stays obedient to the word in her, because it is in her. You know, I honestly believe that Brother Daniel or myself or any minister truly called of God, that what lies within us, there is in us a sermon that if given the permission of God to do so, and it was laid out, we could preach one sermon that would convert the whole world.
Yeah.
Because it's in us. But you know, many times, Brother Daniel vouched for this too, you know, a lot of times you walk along, you don't feel that. But you know he's in there. You know that that being is there. And we don't we do not control that anointing.
No, that's right.
We do not, you know, we come up here, every time you come preach, Brother Daniel come preach, I come preach. Every time we come up here, we're not coming up here like, man, I'm going to pull the trigger on this. Yeah, no, you get yourself out of the way, as Brother Remus said, and you know, and you, through your faith, touch God, and God comes, and the gifts operated through that faith or whatever. But we don't even control that.
No.
And though we have Him living in us, and though we know that that anointing that's down inside us could come out and speak and quicken our bodies into immortality, could do that, but because the Holy Spirit in us does not allow us to do that, we're prisoners to Christ until He does that. So there's something to be thought about when you think about being a prisoner to Christ, like Paul said he was. Whenever that woman that was following them and saying, these men be the servants of the Most High God, and did it for several days, and finally Paul turned and said, come out of her. But Brother Lynn said that he was a prisoner to Christ, and you'd think, well, right off the bat, he'd turn around and do it. No, he had to go for several days until finally the Holy Spirit said, turn or rebuke that thing. Now, Paul had that anointing all the time. He had that ability all the time, but he couldn't operate it without the unction of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Jesus could have done these things. He could have made the stones into bread. He could have called for 12 legions of angels, but the Spirit that was in him was not giving him permission to do so.
That's right.
So it's important. It is important that we are in fellowship with that Spirit, that when He's ready to speak, He can speak.
Oh, yeah.
But always remember that until our bodies are changed, until He does that, that gift, that anointing is not to glorify self, not to try to be a big shot, not try to make everybody think something higher of you or get something gained to yourself, but it's to touch lives and fulfill the Word of God.
Yes.
That's what it's for, not anything else. You hear me talking about how, you know, it's your boss that promotes you. You don't promote yourself.
Right.
We do not say on that, I'm ready, I'm raptured. No, the boss is the one that has to say when the job is done.
Amen.
And says when the rapture time is it there, see? But until that time, if the boss says, you're still a servant, even though you're Lord of all, you're still a servant, you still got to be out in the hot sun just like every other servant is. You're like a servant. But until He comes and says, now you're adopted. Now you don't have to bore the heat of the day anymore. Now you're over the whole thing. Until He does that for her, she's got to stay right there with that word of the will of God that says you must go through this and you must go through that and you must continue on no matter how bad it gets. You've got to keep going.
Yes, that's right.
And when He's ready to say it's done, He'll say, come up hither. He'll promote us, but we cannot promote ourselves, and we can't point to ourselves and try to lift ourselves up. We can't do that. We've got to walk in the humility and allow to bless others only.
Right.
Amen. To help one another. And not to do it even for something in return.
Right.
Amen. Not to do it for something in return, because it's in the scriptures. The Gentiles, the heathens, know how to do good things to people because they know they're probably going to do something good back for them.
Uh-huh.
Right? See, we're talking about the character of Christ, which is way up here, that He lives in us and causes us to do things that we couldn't do and the rest of the world can't do.
That's right.
Christ. And that should be our set point that we're shooting for.
Yes.
Let Him live in me.
Amen.
Not something else. Let Him live in me. So she's waiting on her Lord to say, it's over with. She must be the Word. I want to listen. I want to finish that quote I was reading a while ago. Church Age book. This is the very next portion when I finished reading a while ago. He was talking about Jesus. I was the obedient. He was obedient to the Word. And now then, there will not be one person, now listen to this, Now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Mm-hmm. That position on the throne. Do you remember some people, a woman came to Jesus, said, "Can you give to my son the grant?" And said, "Sit on this side and on that side." And he said, "That's not mine to give."
Right.
Said, can you suffer the baptism we have? Sure, they could do that, but that position was not given like that. See, that position, reading it here, is for the bride of Christ.
Yes.
Because the bride, the queen, sits on the throne with the king.
Yep.
She sits there with him in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's for her. Those disciples, 12 disciples, it couldn't be them, right? It was for her because he goes to the Gentiles to take out people for his name. They have their place. They sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel and all that, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't for them, but it was for whom it was prepared, and it is the bride. Mm-hmm. Now then, there will not be one person who will sit on the throne of the Lord Jesus unless he has been living that word. Your prayers, your fasting, your repentances, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege to sit on that throne. It will be granted only to the wedded bride as the throne of the king is shared with the queen because she's united with him. So only they who are of that word, even as he is of that word, will share that throne. Amen. So you realize the significance of what we're talking about here, that this character and this nature come down, and it can't be something we fake.
Right.
It can't be something we pretend.
No.
It can't be something where we fight all these battle fronts, but we've got one front we leave alone,
mm-hmm.
of compromise in our life. Because that's the one thing. Remember the rich front, young ruler? Must I have eternal life? Oh, well, keep the commandments, do this. He said, "Well, I've done all that." And here's what Brother M said, but he didn't have eternal life, and he knew it.
Yep.
He knew there was something else, because if that was all it was, that deep in him would have called to the deep, and he would have known.
Yeah.
But he knew there was something wrong. And so he was asking, you know, and Brother M said, if there's a question, see, if there's a question about it, don't go there. But I'm telling you, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
It is.
Because there's questions, and we're like, well, you know, he said it for a reason.
Yeah.
That rich young ruler knew. And so Jesus, you know, he's standing before the word, and the word always corrects the error. Here's the word standing there, and so the word says, okay, yeah, you've done all that. Jesus didn't say, no, you haven't.
That's right.
So he had done all those things,
yes.
but yet he lacked something.
Yes.
And the thing that he lacked, Jesus, standing before the word, went right to it and said, well, here's the problem.
Yes.
Here's the issue right here. You know, that works on setting you free because a woman at the well, he knew right what the problem was, went right to that situation, and through that she was delivered.
Yeah.
This guy could have been delivered the same way, but he wasn't.
Right?
And so here it is. Go sell all that you have.
Yes.
Give to the poor. Follow the gospel.
Yes. He
went away sorrowful because he had much.
Yeah.
See, there was the problem in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He could keep the commandments. He could be ever so staunch and all this other and keep it all that. But he had one thing missing.
Mm-hmm.
And the word had to say, that's a problem for you.
Yeah.
So the battlefront. Oh, I fight this battle. And I'm whipping the devil here and I'm whipping the devil here. What about this one? What about this one? What about the question that you're ignoring? See? We've got to come to the place where we're purged of all the questions. That when we walk, we can say, Father, I know that you hear me. I know that you hear me because the life that you put in me always does those things which is pleasing to you. That's a tall order. But see, that's how much we've got to become disconnected from this world and from the flesh and from the things of the world and the passing away and walking by the Spirit of Almighty God, anointing that word, which is now resident in his bride, to make her the word made flesh.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. So, As I said a while ago, we have to wait for the anointing, the unction of the Spirit to take that word and cause us to live and cause us to. I've had times, I remember one time at work, place I used to work at years ago, and there was a temporary employee. And we had this Richard work there. He worked with us a lot of time. But there was, they would trim the paper off of these machines and it'd go up a pipe and it would dump it back there by this baler where they'd take all this paper and bale it up into a bale and they'd sell it. Well, there was a door where that hopper would fill up and then you'd have to open that door and let it all fall down and go into the, put it into the baler or whatever. And there was a temporary employee there. And, you know, the story I got was, is that the last thing come on that door come down and hit him. Because now I didn't know nothing about it. I all looked over and I seen them. They were wheeling through the plant going up toward the front, called the ambulance. You remember that? And he was going up through there like that, and the guy was sitting there shaking, you know, and, you know. And I went back into the warehouse and I said, God, if you want me to go up there and lay my hands on that man, whatever's going on. And he wouldn't give me permission to do it. And I found out about a week later, I inquired about it. And the whole thing was a joke. It was not a joke, he was trying to get some money. It was all staged. The Holy Ghost knew that. He knew it was staged. And he didn't give me permission that intellectually I knew as a Christian what we should do, and I couldn't do it because he didn't give me permission to. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, no matter what they do as they're coming at us, if he doesn't get, and this is why we've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Get this stuff out of your life to stay in tune with him. That the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you say, good morning, Lord. God is so good to wake up and be in fellowship with you. That's what you got to do. And so that when he is ready to speak, you'll hear him. Why? Because you're right there in tune with him all the time. So no matter what happens, that you have such a trust in your walk with him, that he says, you know they're coming to cut your head off? That's okay. It's all right. Why? Because I'm in fellowship with my Lord. And he hasn't told me to do anything. He hasn't told me to go out and ride in the streets. He hasn't told me to go, quench a smoking flax or anything. He hasn't told me to do none of that. I'm just walking in peace with my Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not fearing what they can do.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Christians throughout all ages, that's the way they walked. I mean real ones. Mm-hmm. That's the way they walked. Fearless when times were fearless but humble and obedient, and only do what God said do. And this is important. We've got to come to that place where that's the kind of life we live, that if I was sitting right here speaking to you, and all of a sudden the Spirit said, leave here and walk up the street, there's one person up there working in his yard that I want you to go minister to. And I'd walk out and meet you, and you'd say, what's the matter with Brother Tony?
Uh-huh.
But it's in the Bible. Right? It's in the Bible. Preaching, Brother Ben said, preaching, Philip. Preaching. And the Spirit said, leave here and go out into the desert. He left me. But we got thousands. This is what Brother Ben said. We got thousands of what you hear. Yeah, but the Spirit said, go out here.
Yeah.
And he went out there and caught that Ethiopian eunuch that took the gospel back to the nation.
Yeah.
What if he had said, no, Lord, no. No. I got thousands here. Why do you want me to go off out there where there's nobody? Reminds me of the story when in Africa they're out in the middle of nowhere, out in the bush, the elephant grass is way high. I think Brother Sidney Jackson tells about this. Brother Brandon gets up and has him follow me, and they go walking out through the elephant grass, you know, out there in the middle of nowhere, and he just stops right there. Just about the time they stop, here comes a couple of men carrying a guy on a stretcher coming through the grass. Why? The Holy Spirit said, leave, go out. Go. And he said, stop. And he stops. And right there was a situation for a man that needed healing.
Yeah.
This has to transcend beyond human thinking. We got to come to this place where it's God, Almighty God.
Yes.
And not just something else. Not just what we're pretending like and all that. We've got to get back to the place where it is God living and working in us daily.
Amen.
Overcoming all of our senses. The flesh and our mind and emotions to do his will and his will only. That's the kind of bride he needs. That's the only one that can fulfill this word in the hour of what we've got in front of us. See? We've got to give in. You know it's in you. You know the Holy Spirit's in there and telling you this is it. At some point we got to make a decision. You know what? I'm done. I'm done with the world.
Yes.
And I got to have this.
Yes.
And that's what we got to do.
That's right.
Amen. She waits for that spirit to speak up and say go, and she goes. Cooking that word in you. 1 John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now let's go to the next one, verse 20, whatever it was. 28, yeah. Now keep that in mind. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And let me say it this way. If you love me, keep my word.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's in you. But you've got to have a relationship with that which is in you.
That's right.
It has to have preeminence in your life. We can't be grieving him. He'll grieve the Holy Spirit upon us. Don't grieve him. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things going on in the lives of people I'm looking at that grieves them. And it could be a big mirror back here looking back at Brother Tony. See, we've got to step it up a notch.
Right.
Several notches. Mm-hmm. But if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word, which is in you. Okay? He said, now you've heard how I said that I go away and I come again to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I say I go into my Father, for my Father is greater than I. If you really love me, you'll rejoice in what I'm telling you. And I will say it this way. If you really love this word of God, this message, you'll rejoice that God took Brother Branham. Because if he was still here, we'd never be weaned. We'd never be coming into what I'm talking about. Thank God for what he did. But thank God that he took him. Amen. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. We talked about this last week, about different times where he said, I've told you that you might know and that you might believe and you might remember. These things have I told you. He said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Now Jesus is entering into this time where he's going to come under a serious attack. He said, I'm not going to be able to talk to you much after this, because the prince of this world cometh, and the battle's going to be great. I'm paraphrasing, right? The battle's going to be great, so I'm not going to be able to talk to you, but you know, we'll get back together, right? He's coming. And the battle's going to be great, but I'm going to tell you, he's not going to fight anything of me. I'm going to overcome. Okay? And here's what he says. He's coming. I'm paraphrasing. He's coming. The battle's going to be great. He's not going to fight anything in me. He's going to crucify me. We'll read it in just a moment, but the Father's not giving me permission to do anything other than submit to the cross. And here's what he said. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Well, what happens if you love him? You obey him.
Right.
If you love him, you obey him. This comes back to a love test. Right. How much do you love him? Do you love him enough to say no to things that hinder your relationship with him? So he says, that the world may know that I love the Father. How are you going to know that he loves the Father? Because he's going to do what the Father says, even though it takes him to the cross. He's going to stay with the word, even though it cost him greatly in the flesh and looks like a failure in the flesh. He's going to stay with the word. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father had gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go up here to this cross. Let us go to this place where this is going to happen. We're not going to shirk or kick back and worry and try to get away from it. We're going to stay with the word, even if the word says the Catholic Church is fixing to come after you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the world will know that she loves Jesus Christ the Word. Because she's going to stay with him even when the system is rigged against her.
Yes. Right?
She's going to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is how that testimony is going to be left to look back and say, Jesus loved the Father because the proof of it was he always obeyed. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ because she always obeyed.
Right.
You know what? We haven't always been that way. because much of our life has been us. But we're growing spiritually. We're coming to that. And we're rejoicing in it. Praise God. What a plan of redemption. That the Creator of heaven and earth would come to our lowly estate and say, I want you to represent me. I want to live in you and finish up my plan of redemption. Amen?
Yeah.
What an awesome thing.
Yes.
But it is, it's a holy thing. It's a fearful thing. It's a reverential respect thing that we have for Him. Amen. Amen. No matter what the pressures is, she stays with Him. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. You love Him. And He is the Word. Amen. As with every service, let's bow our hearts. As with every service, the ministry of the Word has been given forth. And you find places you say, Lord, I need to tighten my belt up. I need to come up. I need to repent. And I said this the other day. You have to repent first. And you say, Lord, I haven't always been this way, but we'll repent of it. And say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be a stick in the mud to your program. I do not want to fall short. I want you to be able to magnify yourself through me. I don't need glory to myself. I just want to walk with you and let you speak and have me do what you want me to do. You'll perform it. I'm just gonna let you use me. This is what we should want, and if we've been guilty of not allowing that, we should say, God, forgive me. Take out me these things that hinder me in that fashion, and let me come in the strength of your Holy Spirit. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have ministered your word this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, for the liberty that you have provided in the word this morning. Lord, as a minister coming and don't really know how it's going to come out, but just trusting, Lord, that as you guide us and when we prepare and you give us the direction you want to go, then we, as it were, holding our breath, come. But Lord, as we get here behind this sacred desk, just realizing that you have brought liberty, and Lord, you've spoken to your people. And I'm asking, God, that you would just touch their lives. And in this moment, as we are repenting and saying, Lord, help us to put away these things and help us to really move on up, that we can be truly led by your Spirit, truly be that bride. We don't want to fool ourselves, Lord. We don't want to just walk in a system that we're just thinking, oh, everything will be fine. When down inside, we know there's something wrong. Lord, help us to address these things. Help all these things to be brought forward, Lord, that you might find yourself without hindrance to live through your bride. We ask, Lord, that you touch each life, each home, each heart, Lord, that they would step up many notches in their walk as we're facing tremendous times now. Lord, may you perform in them the Spirit of God in such a way that they rejoice when they see these things coming. That our hearts not be failing for fear, but that we're looking up and rejoicing and saying, our time is about over with. We thank you, Lord, and ask for your blessings in this way to all your people. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I trust that you pray also. Let's all worship. Not in any hurry, not in any rush. We're going to be around for a while here doing some things, but let's just tell the Lord we appreciate you.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen.